All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking
take all you want! I caught a Spider-Man t-shirt.
How's it going?
Hey!
It's been a couple of weeks.
Oh my god.
We need momentum.
We were
what happens with momentum?
You know what happens at Toy Fair? We just get so burnt out at Toy Fair that we just are like, ugh.
Oh my god.
And it comes to the week after Toy Fair when we're gonna do the show and it's like, I think I'm sick. I'm so exhausted.
I know all the time we
I
spent
walked the entire Javits Center, both floors.
Talking to security.
Talking to people and just do. Well, that's what normally.
Sitting in the lobby.
Normally, that's what would happen.
That is normally what would happen.
Normally, that's what would happen. We would spend Saturday at Hasbro.
Right.
Of Toy Fair. And then Sunday, we would spend walking the entirety of the Javits Center.
We would get up at the crack of dawn.
Starting at 7 a.m. for Lego.
Lego breakfast.
And then we would begin when the floor opens, doing the entire length of Toy Fair.
That's correct.
And the difference about what we do on this show versus what other people might do is that we don't pick and choose. Like, we don't only go to like NECA and
right.
Kotobukiya, and like, we don't pick and choose companies. We see everybody.
That's right.
And anyone that listens to this show knows that if we see something cool at Toy Fair, we're talking about it.
Twilight Turtle.
Exactly. Twilight Turtle is the best example. Not the only example.
No,
it's
but
the best example.
But it's the one that comes to mind.
And every year, we find an array of toys that we think are fantastic at Toy Fair. And that's what we talk about during this show, which is the first show technically that we're doing after Toy Fair.
Correct.
And usually, we would take two shows
correct.
To cover all of the things that we saw at Toy Fair.
That's correct.
Except this year.
Except this year.
Where we're going to take three shows. No.
No.
Where we're going to actually talk about what happened at Toy Fair just really quickly.
Well, we should say that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say what happened.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, yes.
So here's the long and short of it. Long and short of it is this is an online registration process.
That's right.
We registered.
We did.
OG was approved.
I was.
I hadn't heard anything. I called up.
That's right. I was approved in November.
Yes. I found out I was disqualified.
In January.
In January.
Right.
Called OG and I said, I've been disqualified. I can't find out why. The people who are running the registration portion of Toy Fair will not tell me why I've been disqualified.
That's correct.
OG decided, well, I'm going to check my registration. OG, who had already been qualified.
Approved. I had my badge.
Approved. Had a badge. Was disqualified.
At some point in time in January.
With no notification.
Correct.
So if we had been coming from another part of the country.
Would have been a real lawsuit.
Yeah. Because not only were we disqualified, we were not told why we were disqualified.
Correct.
And for the 2 weeks leading up to Toy Fair, we sent emails, phone calls. We resent documentation.
That's right.
We reached out to everybody that we could. It got to the point where I actually went to the Toy Industry Association offices.
In New York City,
asking to speak to somebody and have an explanation as to why I've been disqualified.
Right.
And why no one was returning my phone calls or emails or anything else. So we spoke to somebody over there high up who this was not his gig at all.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to look into it and get back to you. Okay. So we waited and he got back to us and said that we no longer had an affiliation with SiriusXM.
Right.
So that was point one. Well, we never registered as associates.
We should say we've never registered as SiriusXM. Our credentials have always
been...
When
we were off the air.
Right.
Never.
Right. For the couple of years that we were contracted and actually
and
on
we
in February.
On, yeah, that we were on the air. We did register as... covering for SiriusXM because that's what we were doing.
As a matter of fact, there were a couple of years where we would leave Toy Fair and go directly to SiriusXM and broadcast that day.
Mm-hmm. So there was that. And so I reminded them at that time that we did not register this year as representatives of SiriusXM.
That's correct.
We only represent, we registered as representatives of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Which we are,
which
clearly.
We are, yeah. And then the other point they said was that we didn't have enough unique hits or something like that.
Right.
At the website. Now, we found out the number that they were looking for.
Correct.
And we were 3 and 4 and 5 times above that number.
That's correct.
For the amount of unique hits. But no mention was made of the fact that you can get our show...
Without
ever visiting our website.
Right.
You can get it from iTunes. You can get it from any number of RSS.
You can get it from YouTube.
Affiliate places.
Right.
You can get it at YouTube. There's so many ways you can get it that to merely track us by the website is inappropriate. But never mind, because the number...
We met the criteria.
Well, we gave all this information over to them. We waited and waited. And I called... the gentleman back who was kind enough to speak to us at the TIA offices, and he said, yeah, I can't get an explanation as
right.
to why you have been disqualified, but they are not changing their minds.
Right.
They said, this is the answer and that's the end, and offered no explanation. Still, no explanation. We're a week past Toy Fair. We still don't have an explanation.
We still don't have an actual answer.
Now, that said, we have a number of colleagues.
Sure.
Who you know, who are aware of the situation and so on and so forth and are just as confused as we are. But, you know, all of them, of course, had their own offers of, you know, what can we do to help and so on and so forth. And there isn't a lot to do. So it ended up that we only were able to do 2 things at Toy Fair. Hasbro,
right,
which does not take place in the Javits Center.
Correct.
And Lego, which takes place in the Javits Center, but before Toy Fair opens.
So you don't actually need
so
a Toy Fair
badge
or credentials
badge.
To go to that.
Correct. That's by invite only, and they mail the badges out and so
right.
on and so forth. So we were able to do the Hasbro presentation, which we'll get to, and we were, OG wasn't, because
right.
that was the day after the big snowstorm.
Right.
We
both went to Lego.
Right. After Lego... we went over to the press area to try to get an answer as to why we had been disqualified.
And to take one more shot at hopefully getting in to cover the show.
Yeah, to basically walk up again with all the information. We had printed out all the information. We had all of our facts and figures together and everything. And we walked up and we said, here we are.
Right.
And they're like, you're disqualified. You can't go in. And we're like, why? And they're like, we can't discuss it. You know, and even so much as the person who is in charge was on the premises, refused to come and give us an explanation.
And knew that we were there.
And knew that we were
there. And knew that we were inquiring.
Yes, because the woman we were speaking to at the desk had a little walkie-talkie.
Right.
And she walkie-talkied to this woman. We're not going to be using names. No. But she walkie-talkied to the woman in charge, and the woman in charge said, "Have they left yet?"
Right. Not knowing that we were standing right in front of her.
And the woman immediately turned and walked away from us with the walkie-talkie so that we could not hear the rest of the conversation.
Correct.
So knew that we were there, knew that we were inquiring, refused, actually went to the back. The woman who was there with the walkie-talkie went to the back, found another person to come out and tell us essentially to fuck off.
Right. And we had, and I know some of you may find this hard to believe, but I am here to attest and verify. Big Kev was very polite. He was stern where he was appropriate, but he was polite.
I was
professional. He did not raise his voice. He did not threaten anybody physically or verbally.
Nope.
He was, and really the only question we asked over and over again was,
why?
Can you please tell us why? We will leave.
Yeah.
Just tell us why.
Okay, it's okay. We've accepted the fact that we're disqualified and you are not letting us in. All we want at this point is an explanation as to why this has occurred.
Right.
And we still don't have that explanation to this day. So we're going to be starting our now post-Toy Fair inquiries as to why this occurred. And what we hope to do is get to the bottom of it. Because the really sad part about this is we got over 400 invites from companies at Toy Fair who wanted us to drop by and see their stuff.
And actually, we had appointments.
Yeah.
We had appointments.
We had at least a dozen appointments.
Aside from the Mattel event, which we didn't get to go to, but we were invited to.
Right.
We had appointments with all of the major smaller players.
Right.
And a lot of players who had product coming out that we knew you would be interested in, that we were interested in. I mean,
people we've spoken with before over the years, things that we've covered over the years. Hey, you going to drop by? Of course we are.
Of course we are.
You know, all that sort of thing. And without an explanation and without even notification on the part of OG who had already been approved, just flat out disqualified.
Right. And, you know, we have some concerns about what this may or may not mean for the future of our coverage of Toy Fair.
Well, we can't say.
Right. But I get the feeling that if this doesn't go in a positive direction, we may be covering it through other people's coverage.
That may be. But
I hope it doesn't come to that.
I hope it doesn't come to that either. But we are right now the only thing we know is we know nothing.
And the other thing I want to say, and this isn't to disparage anybody else that covered Toy Fair, but I do want to say that as far as credentials and credibility and coverage is concerned,
right?
I know that we're not the biggest fish in the pond,
right?
But there are smaller fish that covered that event than we did.
Yeah, and there are smaller fish.
And again, that's not to disparage them.
No.
I'm glad that they did. Some of them did an awesome job.
So let's put it in perspective. We opened this by saying we do the whole thing,
right?
You know what? When we're at, God help me for saying this, and get ready to dial the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
When you Google Madam Alexander.
Oh, God.
And you see what that is, and understand that we stop at that booth.
Every year.
You'll understand what I mean when I say we do the whole thing.
Right.
We don't skip anything.
Right.
But there are people who just do very specific things, like they're just interested in Transformers.
But yet they somehow are able to cover the entire show.
Right. They don't have the, in my opinion, they don't have the reach nor the broad coverage that we provide.
Correct.
They have no problem whatsoever.
Right.
Getting in. No problem. Some blogs that I can't even imagine have the hits that we do have no problem getting in, but we can't even get an explanation as to why we were disqualified. From our perspective. And again, let me put this in perspective. This show's been on the air 7 years.
Right.
OG and I have gone as representatives of this show for 7 years.
Correct.
OG and I OG and I have gone together before Big Kez Geek stuff for probably another 2 or 3 or 4 years before that.
Yeah, correct.
And then before that, I went for 4 or 5 years before OG.
Correct.
Covering it as an independent for various radio programs and other news outlets. Yeah, news outlets. And I have never experienced what I experienced. I couldn't get an answer. We were being laughed at by customer service. Yep. The customer service of the company that did the registration for Toy Fair. It was demeaning, degrading, and it was so completely unprofessional.
Completely unprofessional.
And I don't imagine. OG and I spent a day going, okay, who did we piss off last year?
Yeah, and we can't think of anyone.
We can't think of a single person.
and you know, long ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Long ago.
Big Kev and I.
I even saw that guy.
Big Kev and I may or may not have stirred the pot with a couple of companies.
And not without cause.
Right. But it had never prevented us from being disqualified from the entire show. Maybe a showroom here or there.
Yeah, but we may have in the past been asked to leave a showroom or two. But you're talking.
I'm talking 6 years ago.
I'm talking like year one of this show.
Yeah,
I'm way the hell long ago, and even before.
It
this
actually
show,
might have even been before this show. The very first time it happened was before this show.
I think so. Yeah.
So certainly in recent history, we have not.
No.
Been troublesome.
No.
In the least.
In fact, it's been quite the opposite because we have strived to rise above the sort of one-sided or one-note coverage of Toy Fair that a lot of people are interested in doing. Like, you know, there are people who do just action figures.
Right.
There are people who do just building toys.
Right. And there are people that do just certain licenses.
Yeah, exactly. There are people, like I said earlier, there's people who just do the Transformers. And this is not a knock on any of those people.
No, of course
not. They all do great jobs. But that said, what we wanted to set ourselves apart as is by doing the whole thing.
Right.
And saying, wow, you know what? That little steel drum for little kids that company put out that year, that was one of the greatest things that we had seen.
Absolutely.
Last year, what was it? Brick Sticks?
Uh-huh.
Color Forms for Legos.
Right,
is that what we called them? We wanted to cover that. Twilight Turtle, for probably the entire 7 years that we've been on the air, I think we've been talking about Twilight Turtle.
Yep.
And I was so excited to talk to them this year because there's actually somebody out there ripping them off.
Yeah, I know.
I can't remember what they're called.
It's like the Pillow Pets people.
Night Pets or whatever they're called. I was dying to talk to them this year about how the lawsuit must be going. You know, like that. I mean, there was exciting things. And what we tried to bring to the party was a broad perspective.
Right.
And without an explanation, we have nothing.
So
we have Hasbro and Lego to talk about. And we have other things that people... Our colleagues were like, hey, this happened. You guys should talk about it. Hey, this happened. You guys should talk about it.
So we didn't entirely lie when we said we were going to break this up into two shows. Because I think what we're going to do tonight is we're going to do a regular episode from this point forward of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Right.
But we are going to come back to some things that we knew and saw and heard about at Toy Fair probably next week and the following week.
Right.
But with that being said.
Well, wait. Should we do that or should we do like... I mean, we're actually present at two things. Maybe we should talk about those two things.
Okay.
We can trim out some of this other stuff.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's Hasbro and Lego.
Sure.
And believe me, not a lot to talk about.
Okay.
In
well,
the former.
You could go into Hasbro because I wasn't there. So.
I know. But, all right. But I know you're dying to do this.
Geek stuff. Well, did we give the episode number or the episode title?
Didn't we?
I don't think we did.
277.
Disqualified.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Okay.
All right. Peter Dinklage.
Yes.
Has been cast in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, my.
So the initial rumor, which quite frankly I find offensive.
let's see.
Was that he was going to be playing Puck. And this was based on nothing other than it's Peter Dinklage.
He can't. That's
it makes
just,
no
that
sense.
That is offensive.
So...
He can't play Puck.
What we what later came out was that he would likely be playing a villain. And then after that, the rumor mill started to circulate that he's going to be playing Bolivar Trask, who is the creator of the Sentinels.
Yeah, I know.
Who was already in X-Men 3 very quickly.
Right.
But we know the Sentinels play a major role in Days of Future Past.
But nobody cares about X-Men 3. So
we will see who he actually ends up playing. But I don't think it's going to be Puck.
It's not going to be Puck. That is so...
Isn't that offensive?
There's a something... It's an ist, isn't it?
I don't know. Dwarfist? I don't
midget
know.
Midget-ist?
I don't know. And I don't know if they say midget anymore.
Heightist?
I think it's like...
Little peopleist?
Little peopleist, perhaps. I think munchkinist is probably even out.
Wow.
Felicity Jones, who you wouldn't really know from a lot, unless maybe you saw that Tempest movie that came out last year where Helen Mirren played... Caliban? Didn't she play Caliban?
No. She played the father. But it was the mother.
Sorry. Yes. Right. Yeah, I can't remember the name. Well, Felicity Jones was Miranda in that version of The Tempest.
Yeah.
And she has been cast.
Wait, wasn't she White Queen in...
No.
Well, that's not Felicity
Jones. No, that is Jennifer Lawrence.
No, sir. Jennifer Lawrence played Mystique.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. No, she was not in X-Men, Felicity Jones. Okay. I looked. She was not in Days of Future Past. But... She has been cast in Amazing Spider-Man 2. And the rumor is that she's being cast as a Black Cat. So that'll be interesting. Well, I think it's interesting because I think we have MJ coming into this movie as well.
Ooh.
So now you're going to have Gwen, MJ, and possibly Black Cat.
All the girls.
All romantic interests. All the Peter
girls
Parker through the
and,
years.
And the hipster Peter Parker. The
hipster Peter Parker.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Arrow has been renewed.
Yes.
For a second season.
I've heard.
And in addition to that, it looks like I think it's later in season one, coming up soon. Roy Harper is going to be making his first appearance on the show.
As what?
We don't know.
As a small boy?
No, he's not. He is grown. He is almost... he looks like he might be Ollie's age or a little bit younger, which kind of age wise falls into current DC 52 continuity.
Oh, I see.
Because Roy Harper, Arsenal, Red Hood and the Outlaws, is not much younger, if at all younger, than Green Arrow in the new 52.
I thought he was.
No. Green Arrow is a kid again.
Oh, that's
he's
right.
He's teenage. He's Arrow, Green Arrow.
Right.
I mean, so they could go that route. And of course, you know, in the preview trailer that they show us, he's in a red hoodie, you know, jumping over a fence and being a criminal.
Ba-dum-bum.
So, of course, all season one, Ollie has been calling his sister Speedy.
Right.
Which is interesting.
And when exactly does he start shooting up heroin?
Well, Speedy, his sister on the show, is already a drug addict.
Oh, right.
She's already involved in a couple of different drugs. She was addicted to the Vertigo drug a couple episodes back, which is another old DC Green Arrow story. So I'll be interested to see if they actually make him into Red Arrow, Arsenal, whomever. But the show is doing really well and has been picked up for season two. So there's that. Did you have something, Mika? Because I have one other thing that I wanted to mention. But
yeah, I had one.
Go.
You know, we've been talking for years now, it seems, about Fantagraphics, the Complete Peanuts volumes. Well, after the success, I guess they wanted to wait until they had some success. What? It's got to be 30 volumes, isn't it? Yeah. Close to it. Fantagraphics will now release... Peanuts Every Sunday, 1952 to 1955, the first volume in a series of books reprinting every full-color Sunday strip.
But are the Sunday strips already included in the other sets?
I don't think so. I think it's only the black and whites that they've released so far.
Why would they not include the original colors? That seems to be odd.
Well, because they can charge $49.95 for the 280-page hardcover, first in a 10-volume set. Scheduled for a fall release.
280 pages. That's probably what? That's probably what? 5 years worth of strips?
1952 to 1955.
How does that work? That's more pages than strips then.
I don't know.
If it's 3 years.
Maybe some supplemental material.
If it's 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And presumably there's one new strip a week.
Right.
That's 52 a week.
Okay.
So that's 100. So 3 years is 156, let's say.
Okay.
But it's 280 pages.
Could be some specials.
Yeah, maybe.
Could be some that just didn't fit on one page.
That's a lot of specials.
Could be some that didn't fit on one page.
They might have stretched them out because, I mean, normally, yeah. Even the Sunday strips, which are bigger than normally the weekly strips, normally still fit in a window. I mean,
are they going to shrink it in order to get, like, what if it was, instead of being like, and we're just using arbitrary numbers, instead of it being 5 inches,
right.
What if it was 8?
Right, but what I'm saying is, even if it was one strip a page, that's still 120 pages more than strips. It's just odd to me, that's all.
I don't know. We're going to have to wait and
Wait and see what it is.
But that's very exciting because that Complete Peanuts, I think, is... If you have ever been a fan of newspaper comics, Peanuts is the strip. It's the go-to strip for all of that stuff. And this collection is amazing, the black and white collection.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I can only imagine the color collection is going to be just as amazing.
Something that came out of Toy Fair, although we heard about it before Toy Fair, and we've seen more about it since, Gale Force 9, which is a board game company.
Yes, they actually, do you remember them from the Pirates days?
Yeah,
they put out them little islands and the little measuring things pirates.
Well, they have put out a board game, I guess a year or two ago, Spartacus, A Game of Blood and Treachery, which... Although we've never actually covered it on the show, I hear is actually decent, and it's been well received.
Okay.
It's kind of one of those, I don't want to play Magic this week. I'm going to play Spartacus.
It's a card game.
It's a board/card game, but you know what I mean? Like weekly gamers who get together every Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
Every now and again, they pepper in that extra game.
Right.
That's kind of this. Well, Gale Force 9, coming out later this year, I think third or fourth quarter, Firefly, the game. It's also a board game, card type game. You get to captain your own Firefly class transport ship with a handpicked crew of fighters, mechanics, and other travelers. And it's a deck/ board game. It looks interesting. I don't think there's been anything released on the mechanics of the game, but there have been some photos. Hopefully you're looking at those photos now.
Sure.
It looks interesting, and you know, I don't mind reporting Firefly news when there's actual legitimate Firefly news to report, as opposed to, there was another rumor this week. I'm not shit. But anyway.
You know what's messed up?
What?
You didn't do the bit.
How do you know?
Because you said it first. And you just continued.
That's right. Damn that bit. Damn it to hell,
that's
I
right.
say.
You can see who's editing the show by what bits get omitted from the post-production of this program.
All right.
Everybody loves that bit. That we haven't probably done that in 2 years.
All right. So, fine. From now on, whenever I say Firefly...
Yeah, that's there. That's the
you
bit.
Happy? The bit's back.
I'm just saying.
Resurrected from the dead.
Some people like the bits.
Maybe Netflix will pick up the show. One of
what? Really?
No.
Is that a rumor going around?
Well,
it never happened.
Anytime Netflix announces that they're going to revive something or come out with original programming, someone's always like, "What about Firefly?"
Well, there's a couple of problems with that little theory. For all of you that think that could happen.
Whedon's busy.
Whedon's busy. A. B. Captain Mal's busy.
Yeah.
Nathan Fillion is on a very successful crime romance drama.
Right. Marina Bakarin is busy.
I think it's called Bones. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's the other one. And because that's what happens to male leads from Whedon shows. They go to awful romantic procedurals.
It's a great show.
Mirena Bakarin is getting filled out like an application on Showtime's yes. Homeland.
Right.
That's it.
That's it, I think.
No, no. Isn't what's her name?
Who? No one else.
River, isn't she on a...
No, she was on Alphas, but that got canceled.
Oh, yeah, that's... Oh, she's free.
Gina Torres was on something, but that got canceled.
For like a day.
And Jewel State, I think, is on some sort of original programming outside of... From Canada, I don't think it's made its way state bound yet.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard
and
that.
And Sean Maher isn't doing anything. Ron Glass isn't doing anything.
Right.
Adam Baldwin is too busy being a right wing nut job.
Well, if so, it doesn't matter if Ron Glass or Tudyk are doing anything.
Oh, Tudyk actually is doing something, and very successfully, I might add. Even though I don't watch that show, but I hear it does phenomenal. Suburgatory, he's on, and it's on that. What is it on its third season already? I think.
What is it called?
Suburgatory.
Suburgatory?
Suburgatory.
I've never heard of
it. I've seen a couple episodes and it's really funny. I think it's on its third season.
He can stay there.
Of course, he's dead.
He can have Ron Glass with him.
He might. Maybe he should.
Because.
Yeah. Hey, look.
Not needed.
Hey, maybe if they do a new TV show, it'll take place between where the show left off and the movie took place.
No.
Just saying.
I think when.
It's never going to happen. Let's not talk about it.
Wash's twin brother shows up.
Let's not talk about it. The only other thing I wanted to mention real quick, and I'm not giving it a whole lot of credence, but Latina Review again this week announced that Harrison Ford was confirmed,
yes.
But it hasn't actually been confirmed
right.
by any other outlet.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Mark Hamill in an interview yesterday, I think with Variety, although I could be wrong on that, said that, well, they've talked to all of us, but none of us have signed anything.
Right.
You know, they talked to me, they talked to Carrie, they talked to Harrison,
we know they
but none
to,
of us have signed anything.
We know that they talked to Mark, George himself.
Talked to Mark Hamill
and Carrie Fisher
over the summer
at Celebration.
Yeah,
or right before Celebration, and we know that Harrison Ford was talked to because in an interview after he said for years, "Yeah, I would never ever do the character of Han Solo again." All of a sudden, in an interview, he goes, "Maybe,
yeah, why not?
Maybe."
I know. Mark Hamill in his interview did say that he would be more inclined to do it if they all came back. He doesn't want, like, just him to
I
come
know.
Back.
He's not going to sign up to do it if they don't all come back. Bullshit!
Of course.
Bullshit. Mark Hamill would sell his mom to be doing anything
I
again.
Think they all would come back anyway.
I think they would, too.
I think if the script was right.
They got to get Harrison before the rest of the senility sets in, though. Oh, you think
Harrison.
I'm kidding? No. Google his last Letterman appearance.
I saw. It was rough.
It was rough.
It was rough.
Rough.
Han Solo.
Han Solo. Wow. Hurtful. Wow. Has that been coined yet?
Yeah, I think I coined it. Actually.
TM. Trademark. Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
With that being said, Big Kev.
Yes, OG. Let's take our first break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Episode 277.
Disqualified.
I believe it's disqualified, sir.
What's up? It's Joe from Long Beach, New York. Everybody I know watches Dragon Ball Z, Big Kev. Are you some kind of a moron? Everybody likes Dragon Ball Z. You fucking retard.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 277, Disqualified.
Yup.
Did you hear that guy?
Yeah.
See?
Uh-huh.
Who doesn't love Dragon Ball Z?
Yep. Apparently, I'm the only person on the planet. Or what did he call me?
I don't even know. It's something derogatory.
Something derogatory who has never listened or watched Dragon Ball Z.
That's right.
All right. But, OG,
what?
That was not the only phone call we got this week.
No, I think that it was. Are you sure?
No, I'm pretty sure. Why don't you listen to this?
Hello, gentlemen. This is a friend of the show, Opeth Fan, on Twitter. Matt, I normally agree with you on everything, but I have to agree with Kev on this one. Simply put, Dragon Ball Z is terrible. I can't find a single thing about that show that I even like for a second. I don't know why anybody's a fan of it. It is terrible. Kev, you're right. Talk to you guys later.
Oh,
all right. So there's that guy.
Oh, gotta agree with Big Kev. Oh, hurtful.
I'm not friends with that guy no more. You hear that, Matt? Me and you, we're on the outs.
Now, didn't we get an email about this too?
We did. A long time ago, for the long time listeners of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you will remember years ago, we used to have a guy,
Angry Dan's,
who wrote in almost every week with either a criticism or a complaint or a really good contribution to the show.
That wasn't Angry Dan.
It was not Angry Dan. But he has been one of our most vocal written
Who's our
listeners.
Wrestling guy?
I don't think we ever had a wrestling
guy. Yes, we did.
Triple B was our wrestling guy for a while.
Well, Triple B was a producer, sir.
He was a producer.
Who was a wrestling guy?
Did we ever have a wrestling guy?
Yeah.
Who?
Wait, put the show on hold.
All right.
Lady from Ipanema bit. Just saying.
Gotta work it in there. That one we've been using, though.
No, no, no. Did you?
I do remember.
The Bad Mother Canucker.
The Bad Mother Canucker.
Our wrestling correspondent.
Wow.
When wrestling was popular.
That's right.
No, not really. When it was dying, but.
Agent Smith. Remember a guy, Agent Smith? He used to write in all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The original Studio A.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember.
Well, anyway. He says,
Agent Smith, out of the blue.
Yeah, I didn't send in a voicemail because putting Kevin in his place is reward enough.
Wow.
And then he goes on to talk about a couple things. Dragon Ball
I'm
Z.
I'm the host here, people. I'm not your enemy.
Dragon Ball Z Kai, which was the director's cut of Dragon Ball Z, debuted as the highest rated show in Nickelodeon history when it debuted. He goes
what did
on,
he send us? Facts and figures?
Yeah, he goes on to mention that the show originally began in the 80s, spanned the 90s, and is current. Blah. And he goes on to talk about the ratings of the show and how
amazing.
Successful it was.
Remarkable.
Yada, yada, yada. Look, coming from both spectrums, a lot of people like it. Some people clearly do not like it. There it is. But there's a new one coming out, and I am excited.
Wow.
So there it is.
Are you going to share that with your child?
Maybe at some point down the road. I don't know about anime for the young
kid.
I'd rather start with Clone Wars.
You know what we should? You know what we should start your boy off with?
What?
Grave of the Fireflies.
No,
just get him right in.
Yeah, Urasuki Doji.
Urasuki Doji. Yeah,
La Blue Girl.
That's it.
Just go tentacle porn right out of the gate.
I don't think tentacle porn is the way to go per se. But I'm just saying there's a wide variety of manga. And anime and stuff.
Let's move forward.
Sir.
Can we move forward?
Geek stuff, comics, books, and graphic novels.
We didn't do a show last week, but there were three issues that came out last week.
Yes.
Three books that came out last week that I think we need to talk about.
Okay.
Very briefly, Star Wars number 2 came out. That series is still kicking ass. It's
you
a shame
what?
It's going to go away when Dark Horse loses the license.
I'll read that in the 12-issue trade they put out.
Uncanny X-Men number 1. The Marvel Now book.
No.
I read about half of issue number 1.
Uh-huh.
I haven't read the rest of it yet. I have it. It's on my tablet.
Ooh, aren't we electronic?
I liked it. What I've read so far?
Yeah, you know what?
I liked it.
Is it Chris
Bachalo? But Bichalo? I don't know.
Chris Bachalo?
It is Bachalo, and that, I think, is playing a really...
Oh, yeah.
That's... You know, I have a weak spot for Bachalo. I actually went back and I read The Witching Hour recently.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I found it on a shelf, and that whole thing is like 3 issues.
Right.
And it's like a... It's like a good long shit. You can read it. And it was really good. I really like Chris Bachalo.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I mean, but I am resisting fervently from getting back into those books. They all look great. All of them. Even the one that came out this week, Nova.
I'm buying Nova. I'm buying it.
I'm trader waiting reading Nova because I really want to read it. It looks really good and it's going to tie in fiercely
to Guardians of the Galaxy.
So I really want to read it, but I am not getting into another goddamn Marvel book. I'm picking up Guardians because I've read Guardians. I used to get made fun of by, I don't know, let me think who it was. Oh, it was you, OG, who made fun of me for reading Guardians of the Galaxy.
I never made fun of you for reading Guardians of the Galaxy.
I think we need to do some episode reviews.
Perhaps.
To find, maybe in the Just Mike days when getting trashed for reading that book every month.
Maybe it was Just Mike that was trashing
you. No, it was you, sir.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I believe it was you. Anyway, let's talk about this week's
book. Hold on.
Oh,
there was one major book that came out last week that we cannot not mention.
Oh?
Batman number 17 came out last week.
Oh, right.
Now, I know you are not caught up still.
I know, but I know that was the end.
Although, there were two books that come out this week, right? That are Death of the Family.
But that's,
is it two books or one book?
I think it's... Two books, yeah.
So I will say it was a great read. And there was some shit out of left field. There was one moment in the book. I had an oh shit moment in the book. And I had this, I think I had the oh shit moment that almost everybody that read the issue had. So it's nothing unique to me, but there was definitely an oh shit moment. It was great. I can't wait to see what Snyder does next. I think we have a couple of issues that are like filler issues right. that are coming up. And then he's hinted at another major storyline, and he's hinted that it's going to involve the Riddler. So that'll be interesting, because Riddler, in the pantheon of DC villains, Riddler is really high up there for me. I really like that character. I don't think he gets used well. I think he always ends up being like either a one-shot guy or like a sidekick to the Joker guy.
Right.
And I think he really is. I think he's a great character. I want to see Scott and Snyder and Greg Capullo do their thing to him. So I'm excited about that. So this week.
Yep.
Now I had a couple books that came out this week. You got a couple that came out this week.
Well, let's talk, since we just started talking about, let's talk about Red Hood and the Outlaws number 17.
Right, which is a Death of the Family book, but mm-hmm. does it take place after 17 Batman or before? I don't know.
I think it takes place
after. Okay. I haven't read it yet, obviously.
I think it's kind of the epilogue, really, because I'm cheating, OG. I'm showing you this. Because this happens.
Oh, okay.
But I think that happens after the events of 17. And this is going to bring, I think this is going to bring that story to a close, more or less. I'm wondering how this is going to affect the book Red Hood and the Outlaws. That's going to be interesting moving forward to see how they're going to do that. Other DC books, Batman Beyond Unlimited. And number 13, and coincidentally, look at that cover, OG.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
So there's sort of a Batman Beyond picture, but it's been a bit Joker-fied. So what does that mean, I wonder?
Are you reading Batman Incorporated? I know it didn't come out this week, but are you reading Batman Inc.? Are they killing Damian Wayne?
I'm not saying anything to you.
Okay. I'm not reading that book, so I don't know.
I'm not saying anything to you.
All right, go on.
Some Marvel books to check out. Yes, I said Marvel. I read two. Captain America number 4, which is still taking place in that sort of alternate universe thing, which I think is probably the most bizarre direction the Captain America book has ever taken.
Okay.
And I think everybody should at least check out the first 6 issues. Story arc, I think.
Right.
Am I talking funny?
A little bit. It's okay.
I bit my tongue earlier, and it's like,
oh, that's the worst. That is the worst.
La, 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 la. Also, check out Daredevil number 23.
Okay.
From Marvel. This is Mark Waid writing. Decent art, not great. I don't know what's going on with this book.
I don't know, but
it just seems in limbo.
Well, I think that's it. That's the right word. It's in limbo. It hasn't been nowified.
Right.
So it's kind of just sitting there.
Yeah, it didn't really get a restart. It didn't. It's just kind of floating.
That happens.
In a tree. Floating.
In a turlet.
And lastly, I wanted to pick up Matt Wagner's The Shadow Year One.
Okay.
From Dynamite.
Because everybody needs a year one.
Why? What's wrong with the year one?
Nothing. I like year one stories.
Written by Matt Wagner.
I like
the
Matt Wagner.
The shame of this book is that it's not art by Matt Wagner.
Who's the artist?
Wilfredo Torres.
Well, is Wilfredo a talented young man? Do you enjoy his artwork?
I'm going to say I am not a fan.
Okay.
And that's a damn shame because Matt Wagner's writing is really good.
Okay.
And I was really looking forward to this book because although I didn't know who this cat was, I didn't think Wagner would do a book with a cat who couldn't really handle it.
Right.
But it, you know, was kind of meh.
Well, I have 3 books real
quick
too,
pick?
That you did not pick. Okay. Superior Spider-Man number 4 is out this week.
Alrighty.
And even though, you know, Peter Parker's Yoda, I am still kind of enjoying that book.
Right.
JSA The Liberty Files Whistling Skull number three is out. And yeah, I'm really enjoying that book as well.
Trader Waiter.
And then the one that I'm kind of actually excited to read this week, other than Nova, which I am pretty interested in picking up, The Justice League of America. Geoff Johns, David Finch.
You're only reading it because Green Arrow's in it.
Well, that's a good reason to read it.
Okay.
I like
it. Can't argue that logic.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, that's enough.
Yep.
And you know, Lemire, if it kind of parallels what he's doing with the character in the new Green Arrow book, it works. Mm-hmm. Then it works for me.
Yeah, I saw an ad in one of the DC books for the Lemire Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Looks good.
It's good. And the art is interesting.
Yes.
It's not like modern stylization. It's really, I can't remember the artist's name. It's going to drive me nuts. I believe it's an Italian name. Something about it is.
Sorrentino.
Sorrentino, yeah. The art is interesting. It's kind of like noir. It's kind of like a gritty noir feel to it.
It is, yeah.
I'm digging on it. I'm digging on it.
Yeah, it looks really good. I'm almost a little jealous that you have such a nice book to read.
Yay, me!
For years, you had no books to read.
For years, I had no books to read.
But now you have books.
Geek stuff, product reviews.
So, since we got rid of the DVD section, we'll just mention three real quick that came out this week that I at least thought was mentioned. As we open product, yes, of course. Monsters, Inc. is coming out on the Blu-ray.
Right.
That qualifies as a rebuy from
me.
Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome, which I have no real interest in watching.
Yet another prequel, but right?
I know that the Battlestar Galactica fans are
rabid
for it.
If I get assaulted by one more person on the GVM line,
425-920-6050.
About how I've never watched Battlestar Galactica, the new stuff, as opposed to the 1979 TV series, which I did see and own on DVD.
You know, I was away this weekend with some friends visiting, and these are not friends who are traditionally in my purview as far as the geek portion of my life. And even they have watched Battlestar Galactica, and we're like, how have you not fucking watched Battlestar Galactica? I'm like, I watched season one.
No, because I thought you had seen that, and I hadn't. I thought I was the holdout here.
I only saw season one.
But you've at least seen season something. One.
Yeah.
Right, because my answer to you is always, why haven't you watched Battlestar Galactica? Why haven't you watched Star Trek?
I've seen season one.
Of Star Trek.
That's it.
You only have like 28 seasons of Star Trek to go.
Nice.
Something like that.
All right.
So I wanted to bring this to the table. One of our favorite companies out there, Lego, who we did get to see at Toy Fair, which I think for time's sake, I think we are going to actually put that and Hasbro off to next week, OG.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
There's nothing extraordinarily news-wise that we're going to be breaking with regards to that. We're going to be discussing our opinions about what we saw. We're going to be discussing our feelings and so on and so forth, especially about Hasbro. But we'll save that to next week because we're running a little bit out of time. But we do want to talk about Hobbit, The Unexpected Journey line from Lego. Now, what makes this line unique, in my opinion, is Lego kind of known for the vehicles. You know, like Star Wars, it's mostly vehicles.
Well, I think with Star Wars, it's known with vehicles.
Right.
And with like Marvel and DC, vehicles.
Okay. And like some buildings and things.
Right. But right? Like Harry Potter was playsets.
That was vehicles too, though.
Not very much.
Bus.
Yeah, but it was.
They had playsets also. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. But what we're talking about is called An Unexpected Gathering. Is the name of the piece? It's
six minifigures in that, right? Is that correct?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, okay. Sir. And what it is essentially it's Bag End.
It's a great looking piece
for Lego. Now I love it because Bag End is one of my favorite things in all of sci-fi fantasy.
Right.
If I've ever wanted to live or be anywhere ever, it's Bag End. I've always wanted it. I want desperately for my house to be like Bag End, except,
there's some contractor that'll... Some
roadblocks
that's
in the
doing
way.
That.
Real, in New Jersey?
Not New Jersey, but there's a... I mean, I guess, suppose if you had the land, but...
I guess.
You could, you could have it zoned maybe to do that. But anyway, but there was a guy that was doing it.
Dump dirt on my house.
Well, no, you would have to knock your house down.
Right.
Build up a mound on your property, and then
you got to build the house,
build
and
the
then
structure,
bury
around
the
it.
House.
Yeah,
That's what I would think would have to happen. Yeah, I would be down for that if I were like a gozillionaire.
Yeah.
And not for nothing. I just really like the way that the guys who designed the movies did the house.
Baggin is gorgeous.
Always pictured it that way from every description. And Lego, of course, not to be outdone, 652 pieces.
Yes.
In the Unexpected Gathering, which essentially gives you kind of the outside front of Bag End and...
Does it flip around?
Yeah,
it does,
it's like the inside portion of Bag End as well.
Now, who are the six minifigures that come with that? So I see Gandalf.
Gandalf, Bilbo,
right,
Balin, Dwalin, Boffer, and Bomber.
Okay, that's a nice little set.
So you get four dwarves... Bilbo and Gandalf.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's not a bad
set. Then they have, and then it's a pretty big playset, as you can see, from the pictures that OG has no doubt put up on the stream for you to check out. Big giant table, lots of little Lego food and little Lego maps and little Lego weapons and things. This is a really terrific playset to put together because I think one of the most important parts of the Hobbit story is the meeting at Bag End, is how Bilbo became part of this whole crew, and you're able to reconstruct the majority of that here. Now, of course, what Lego would like you to do, and you should anyway, is get the rest of the sets, which all are unique and individual. Sure. They have that the set, I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's the when they're in the tree.
Yeah.
That set is beautiful. But you're getting a couple of dwarves
in each
with each of these sets. So eventually you're going to have the whole set. And eventually you're going to have like this massive, the whole party of the dwarves, which I think would be terrific to display right in the Unexpected Gathering set.
Even though I love the Star Wars stuff, if I had a huge basement, I would be really into getting all of the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings stuff.
Oh my God.
And just making a ginormo Lego display.
That would be amazing.
Link up the piece, you know, almost lay it out in a map.
Yeah.
You know, and try to figure out what should go where like, and stuff like that.
I was about to say, you mean like the opening what you call it?
What?
On HBO.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, so Bag End would be here and here. Yeah.
That would be great.
I would love to do it if I had the money and the room.
And here's what I was thinking. This set is awesome for the figures that are in it.
Right.
But what if you got two sets?
Sure.
What if you got two Unexpected Gatherings and you made a larger Bag End? And you could fit all the dwarves inside. And then you could even make additional rooms in Bag End. You know, there are like, this really has, it's like mostly like sort of like
the dining
eating
room.
Area. But you can make the whole foyer.
Yeah.
You could make the room where his maps and desks. I mean, that's the kind of thing I think a set like this really kind of wants you to do. You know what I mean? Get those additional bits. Do those extra things. That's what I think the beauty of Lego is that in addition to the fact that you can do everything that's right here on the box,
right,
you can expand on these ideas.
Oh, absolutely.
And do all these great things. Man, it's amazing stuff. I don't know what happened. Somewhere in the late 90s or something, Lego like started kicking ass.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird.
Do we think it's that it has to do with the Star Wars license?
I think it has to do with license and like I think it has to do
in
with
general,
like, license
right?
in general. Yeah. Not that the city sets and shit like that aren't still great, and not that we don't love some of the individual sets like the Galaxy set that came out a couple years
ago. Oh yeah, yeah.
Like that.
The Invasion.
The Galaxy set is new, and I like that.
That's the new stuff.
But I like the Chimera stuff that's coming out. That stuff looks really cool. Mm-hmm. But some of the licensed stuff that they get is it's just fantastic.
No, and we're talking about an Unexpected Gathering. Usually don't these pieces usually have like a number associated with
them? Normally the set
it's
79003.
Oh, is that what it, where did you see that? Oh yeah, 79003. Yeah. Let's take a moment where we're talking about Lego. First of all, let's finish up. Unexpected Gathering, awesome set. Bag End on the outside. See, we got the little tree on the roof happening thing. Terrific set. You're going to get six awesome minifigures on your way to getting the rest of the dwarves in the rest of the sets.
After you build it, you can put a smoke pellet in a chimney.
I think that's a special photo effect, don't you think? I think you could do a little billowy cotton.
No, what I'm saying is you can get a smoke pellet. You know, the old smoke pellets from the train sets?
Yeah.
The train set and put it in a chimney.
But you have to actually do something to that, don't you?
I think it's just a little heating element. Oh, you could probably put it in there, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Put a heating element in a Lego thing.
I don't think it's going to melt it. It's not that hot.
I don't know, sir. I think a little billowy, cotton. A
little billowy cotton.
I think would do just fine. But I think if you got multiple sets,
yeah.
You could build a much bigger bed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That said, let's take a moment to talk about, well, two things. One, how it's great that Lego is so innovative as to not just be stuck doing vehicles, because they can do licensed stuff like Lord of the Rings and Hobbit by doing these awesome play sets.
Right.
That was one of the things I wanted to stress. The second thing was something about the Star Wars license that everyone is losing their mind over.
What? The Cell Barge?
Old Republic.
Oh, yeah.
They are putting out more Old Republic stuff than anybody. And it is so popular in our community. Even though, with all due respect, the Old Republic online game has been a dismal failure.
Right.
That said, the Old Republic sort of world time period, if it's any of those things, is really awesome.
It's beloved.
And not only is it really awesome, but it's so popular right now. And the only people doing anything about it, Lego.
Good for them.
I know. They just put out a whole bunch of other. I was like, did you see the Fury class?
Yeah.
Sith ship. Wow. What? My mouth is messed up.
Yes.
Sith ship. Fury class. It's awesome. It's an awesome piece. Anyway, I don't want to dwell on Lego OG. I know that you have something to talk about over
there. I do. So, although I haven't been getting these, although there's one or two that I would really like to own, other than the one I have here. This is the DC Collectibles Justice League New 52 Green Arrow figure. These have been really good recently. I mean, I like the design on almost all these. I think I almost might want to seek out a Batman, but I'm not sure yet. But I have here in the studio the new Green Arrow figure.
Imagine that.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. Sculpted by Jack Matthews.
Oh, we've talked about Jack Matthews.
We have. He does a lot of stuff for DC.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So a couple of things I like about the figure. First, let's talk about the packaging. It's pretty much basic generic box,
sure.
You know, packaging. I do like the shadow, silhouette art.
Oh, on the side there. Box. That's nice.
And I actually think I may snip that.
Really?
That. Yeah, I really kind of like that.
Oh, that is
unless
neat.
I can find the image, which I might be able to just find the image elsewhere.
Scan it.
I could do that too. Let's talk about the figure.
Well, Batman is nice.
So, DC Collectibles.
Uh-huh.
You know that their articulation is sometimes less than other brands. This one's got about 13 points of articulation. We got the hips, the knees.
In a 6-inch figure, though, that's not... especially one coming from DC. That's not bad.
Yeah, you got hips and knees. No ankle, though. Which okay. is kind of weird for Green Arrow, because sometimes...
He wants to do the crotch.
You kind of, crouch. The crouching pose, and it's hard to do that if you can't bend the ankle.
Yeah.
And then you have the shoulder, the bicep, the elbow, the head. No fingers and no wrist. Also a weird choice for a Green Arrow figure.
Interesting.
In my opinion.
Uh-huh.
But he does hold the bow.
Nice.
You have to kind of heat up the hand a little bit to get it in there.
We got to put a demo of that.
Heating up the hand?
Up on the...
Just a little hair dryer.
Is that the way you do it?
Yeah, either that or...
Really? No,
I don't do boiling water anymore.
Why?
Because I did boiling water a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I had paint problems.
Really? No, yeah. Not boiling water. The just steam. Hot tap.
Just... Oh, you know, I don't know. I don't like getting them wet.
Really?
Something about the water in the joints.
Just the hand, though?
Well, all I had to do was... Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting.
A quick blast with the... Literally, it's like
10-second
hit with a hairdryer. You can kind of just open the grip a little bit, pop it in there. No pain issues, no warping.
Huh.
The only other criticism I have, and I'm not going to show you right now, because it's... Well, actually, I might be able to show you.
Okay.
There's
some loose arrows.
It comes with two loose arrows, and the rest of the arrows are sculpted into the quiver.
Right.
Which is a Green Arrow staple at this point.
Yeah.
It's in every figure.
Gotta have
except
it.
Except I hate the giant box quiver that they give him.
Okay.
I hate it.
Does he not have that quiver
no,
in the book?
It's smaller than this. Like, this is big, I think. The quiver is not to scale with the figure.
Okay.
Can you imagine running around with that on your back?
They look a little short, those arrows.
That's my criticism.
Oh, okay.
The arrows are short. Although, if you hold it up to the bow, right?
Yeah.
It's barely long enough to draw the bow.
Oh, that's way too short. Right? Yeah. Those are like crossbow bolts.
Yeah, it's so, which is weird because normally Green Arrow figures, when they come with loose arrows, the figures are, they're longer than this, considerably longer.
They should be like long.
I've got a box of Green Arrow arrows somewhere. In this house. So that bothers me.
They should be almost as long as the arm, shouldn't they?
Which, in case you didn't notice, the way I have this figure posed, and I'm going to try to post a figure of it. Normally, I pose him with the arrow in one hand, and I knock an arrow in the fingers,
right,
and I put the arrow loose. This one, I've got him drawing the arrow, so that you can actually see.
You can't actually see how short they are.
You can't see how short the arrow. Which again, don't get me wrong, on a shelf of 20 Green Arrow figures at this point.
I was giving you
one with one figure.
You're
with
so obsessed, OG. You have so many toys.
Is not so bad. But you know what? Paint applique is nice on the figure. Nice. Everything else is really well.
Yeah, the design looks really cool.
The only other criticism I would have, or I would like to see, is I wish the hood was up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the hood.
Mm.
I like. Don't get me wrong. I like classic Green Arrow Robin Hood hat.
Yeah, I know.
But I like the hood.
No. I'm not against the hood. I think it's so hard to do something that should be like a soft cloth thing.
Yeah, but they did it though. There's a figure. There's one or two figures out with the hood up already. I believe.
Don't remember. Yeah, I'm sure you're right, but I don't remember.
As much as it's a shit figure overall in the grand scheme of things, the Smallville.
Oh,
Green
yeah.
Arrow figure that kind of had the hood that slipped off.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. It kind of worked. But overall, it's a good figure. You know, if you like the new redesign.
Sure.
I'll be interested to see when they'll come out with the Arrow figure from the show.
Right.
Hopefully they will come out with one from
with
the show.
With long arrows.
With long arrows. With correct length arrows. But yeah, that's my major criticism is the arrow length.
They look to be about the length of his forearm.
Yeah.
Which means when he draws it back, he's got to do that. You know that thing, you ever fire a bow and arrow where the arrow does that?
It kind of, yeah.
That thing where it's
wobbles.
Like, it wobbles.
And you can't exactly aim for to, shit. Like,
you have to turn your hand that's on the end of the arrow, you have to turn it towards the bow so that it doesn't like just flip out there at the end.
So, yeah.
And so he's doing that because he can only pull the bow this far before the arrow doesn't have anything to lean against because they're too short.
Right. It's that which is weird, but. But overall, I like the figure. If you know, and I like all the figures in this line.
Right.
I'm not collecting them because I don't collect Wonder Woman, but I like the Batman figure. It's a nice figure.
Wonder Woman actually isn't bad.
I'll be honest with you. One of the characters I hate most in the DC universe is Aquaman. And the Aquaman figure is pretty fucking good looking.
Yeah, it does.
It's a
look
nice
good.
Looking figure. So that it being said.
Bad. That green
Simon Baz, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not a Green Lantern fan. I don't particularly care for that character design, but I think it's a nice looking figure. I've seen the figure.
What is that? It's like the Green Lantern wrestler.
It's like Green Lantern luchador.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe that's they were Simon Baz.
Maybe he's Hispanic.
Maybe it's
I don't know.
Simone.
I don't read that book. So.
Hola, I am Green Lantern. That reminds me, OG, of one thing that I wanted to bring up before we ended the show.
Which is?
Superpower Collectibles.
SuperpowerCollectibles.com for all of your geeky goodness. Statues, toys, action figures, comic books, a plethora of things for you to collect and buy.
A veritable cornucopia.
I would dare say a veritable cornucopia.
No, you wouldn't.
Apparently
you wouldn't
not.
Be able to
apparently
say it.
I have what? Did you apparently borrow? I have sympathy fat tongue from you.
Are you, are you barring my mouth? Holy crap. I bit my tongue so bad on the way over here that it's like affecting my speech.
Lovely.
Ugh.
Don't forget, of course, Super Collectibles has a coupon code.
It does. It's Big Kev.
And that will get you
$10 off any order of $50
right.
or more.
Right.
And free shipping off of any order of $99 or more.
So don't forget to check out superpowercollectibles.com.
Yes.
For all of your loving geeky goodness.
And use that coupon code because that helps you save money. That helps the show here at Big Kez Geek Stuff. That helps the sponsor, Superpower
right.
Collectibles. It's just helping all around. Big Kev in the coupon code box. OG, what did we talk about with our mush mouths on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
It is terribly offensive if you immediately went to Puck when hearing that Peter Dinklage was cast in Days of Future Past. Also this week, we talked about the Firefly board game from Gal 9. We talked about Felicity Jones being cast in Amazing Spider-Man 2, although we don't know what role, but we hear and suspect it might be Black Cat. Harrison Ford, as far as Disney is concerned, has not officially signed on, although according to Latino Review, he has.
Or according to his new house. And his new plane.
Word. Arrow renewed
his
for
new
a
islands.
Fucking hell.
And his new country.
He has.
I heard they.
He
paid,
actually has the Temple of Doom.
I heard he. They paid him Haiti.
Here's Haiti.
Here's Haiti. Do him again. Do Solo again.
I hear they just kept.
Solo.
I hear they just kept on paying him with the same $100 bill because they didn't realize.
Wow.
Slavery.
Wow. We're gonna pay you in cash. One, Cavarda, yeah. Two, Cavarda, yeah. Three. You're hurtful.
I am hurtful. And then, of course, we talked about Arrow being renewed for season two and Roy Harper making an appearance later in this season.
Uh-huh. We talked about the complete Peanuts collection, The Color Sundays, now coming out in a 10-volume set, which is very exciting, from Fantagraphics.
In segment two tonight, we talked about a couple of comic books that came out both this week and last week. Of course, last week, the big one, I would say, is Batman 17.
Right.
Perhaps Uncanny X-Men number one.
Mm-hmm.
This week, Nova number one, Superior Spider-Man number four, and Just Society of America, or Just League of America, are my three big picks.
Right. And also Red Hood and the Outlaws 17, Daredevil 23. Batman Unlimited, Batman Beyond Unlimited, pardon me, number 13, Captain America number 4, and The Shadow Year 1 number 1, which I feel was a bit of a disappointment.
And of course, in
a little
product,
upset about that.
Yeah, well, you know, it is a year
nice
one
cover
Shadow
though.
Movie. I don't think it's Alex Ross. Howard Chaykin.
No, I God, I wish it covered Matt Wagner, Alex. Oh yeah, that must be Alex Ross. That is a damn nice cover.
Of course, it's Alex Ross.
I know, I'm just saying.
And product this week, we talked about Monsters, Inc., Blood and Chrome from Battlestar Galactica,
right.
And Game of Thrones Season 2.
Coming out on DVD.
Yep.
We talked about, from our friends over at LEGO, set 79003, an unexpected gathering, or as we refer to it, the Bag End set. Six minifigures with it. Terrific, terrific set. Another great step in an already great direction for the company LEGO. I can't wait to talk about more LEGO products.
And also we talked about Green Arrow from DC Collectibles, the new 52 version with his little short Peter Dinklage arrows and
his puck arrows.
Now see, if Peter Dinklage was using that bow,
that
them arrows would probably work.
Probably be fine.
Just saying.
That's a real shame. I don't know. Who approved that?
I don't
know.
It's
a weird thing.
Don't forget, you can check us out online over at BigKevGeekStuff.com. Also over at YouTube. Please subscribe to us at YouTube. Check
yes.
it out. BK Geekstuff is the channel name. Of course, on Facebook, Facebook.com/ BK Geekstuff. Also, something that we haven't announced in the show, but I've announced on Twitter, and some of the listeners have taken advantage already, and it's been fantastic. We are now Amazon Associates as well.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you for all of you who have been using that link.
Right.
Of course, if there's something that you can't buy at Superpower Collectibles, we beg of you.
Humbly.
To buy it through our Amazon Associate link.
If you're going to buy something from Amazon, why not go through our Amazon Associate link?
Go to our webpage.
Everybody
right
buys
at the top
from
of
Amazon.
The page, right?
Yeah.
Is a link. And of course, that really helps the show. That goes right back into
right.
the show and helps us. Hopefully, one of our goals this year is maybe some t-shirts.
Yeah.
And some new stuff for the store. But all of that has to be funded. And hopefully, this is how we're doing
I think it's time we did the somebody is my somebody.
Oh, maybe.
T-shirt.
It might be appropriate.
I think so.
And I think that's it this week.
Yeah.
Big guy.
I know, OG. And so after all that excitement, we want to close by just saying a couple of things. One, we regret fully that we were not able to give you the Toy Fair coverage that we would normally have given you.
But we will be talking about a couple of different things.
Yes.
And you could check out Always Awesome Toy Blog.
Yes.
For lots of photos. And he's going to be sharing a lot of his photos with us, which will hopefully allow us to talk about some things that we couldn't see in person.
AwesomeToyBlog.com.
I believe it is. Matt is a lovely young man.
Let's put a link up.
And I will put a link in the show notes. Oh, also in the show notes, I'm sorry, just to cut you off real quick, but in the show notes, we will announce the winners for both the Introducing Volume 4 and the Art Hustle Contest. Winners have been chosen, and they will be in the show notes.
Great. Just to reiterate, we're very, very sorry we were unable. We did everything we could to bring you the coverage that you have come to expect from this show about Toy Fair. We will talk about a couple of things next week. Not going to be breaking news or anything like that. We're not really about that. We're more about giving you our opinions about what we were able to see. And that's what we're going to continue to do on this program going forward, just like we always have done. We're going to continue to give you our impressions of the things that are going on out in all the industries that we enjoy. So we apologize greatly. We're doing our best to get an answer for you as to why we were disqualified. And with that, we are going to end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, as we end all episodes with OG choking to death, by saying good night, Joan Weish. Wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.